Right. So on that note, so we can begin here. So we left off last time with the a comment of the Rama in so we left off with the comment of the Rama in Shin Hei Sif Yud Aleph, where he finishes off by saying that the ain lasos pinyon haben b'chol ha-moed. He quotes some as saying that you shouldn't do pinyon haben b'chol ha-moed. B'ish matir, and there are those that permit it. Tosos parakamad b'moed katan b'chein ikar, and that is the way that we pass it. So what is what's going on there? So if you see on the first page in the sources, I put the Gemara in Maseches Moed Katan Chesamet Beis, so dealing with the laws of b'chol ha-moed. And the Mishnah says, "Ein nosin nashim b'moed lo b'suus v'la amonus v'l miyaviv neshe simcha hilo." That one is not permitted to get married on chol amoed. I mean, moed is referring to chol amoed. Whether she's a basula, mana, yibum, any of those cases, it's a problem. The only thing is permissible to have a machzer who esagir kirushasav. You're allowed to remarry for somebody who you were already married to before. Rashi says, plus there's not such a great simcha with regards to that. Okay.
So I can't open it in the chat. Maybe you could email it to me.
Sure.
It doesn't open. I don't know why. Close that up in the voice.
Give me a second. Okay, just sent it. Still sending. Okay.
Okay. So the Gemara asks, "V'chi simcha hi lo mai havi?" He says, "What does it matter that it is simcha?" Meaning Rashi says, "What simcha is asar on yantav? You're supposed to be happy on yantav." So rather, the Gemara gives about five reasons why it would potentially be a problem. So the first opinion quoted is, and it quotes a long list, and it says, "L'fisha ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha." So we don't want to mix the two simchas. Rabbi Baruchuna Amar ifnei shemaniach simcha regel, because you're going to leave, you're not going to do the simcha regel appropriately, and just do bivus ameach ishtau. So and one other idea is shemar v'simach v'chavul b'ishtecha. Maybe it's a pasuk that you should be happy on the chag and with your wife, and not about the chag, and not your wife. And Ula says because it will be the tircha involved, you're going to ignore the yontif preparations in order to do the wedding preparations. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha if they bittel period of Rivian. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha suggests the problem is because of bittel puravu. What does it mean bittel puravu? So the Rashi explains was if we would permit wedding on Chol HaMoed on Chol HaMoed, so everybody would want to get married on Chol HaMoed. Not sure that is, nowadays we might have a hard trouble imagining that, but Rashi suggests that if we put marriage on Yontif, nobody would want to get married the whole year. Rather, they'd all wait for Yontif because they'd be able to make one Suda for the Yontif as well as for the Nisuan, meaning the whole family is coming over anyways, and that way we can have a big party on Yontif, which we have to do anyways, and save money on the wedding. So Tosfos on the bottom of the page, the bottom Tosfos from a bittel period of Rivia. So Rash Tosfos explains what Sisen Hachipe gives that's the Pshah in the Mishnah, and then about four lines before the end, V'su'udas, he says V'su'udas Brismila Mutter Lasos B'chol HaMoed. He says, well, if I'm not allowed to have a wedding on Chol HaMoed, maybe I shouldn't be allowed to have a bris either. So to which Tosfos says, no, you're allowed to do that on Yontif. The Leika, there's not why. So my first answer would have been, well, plus you don't have a choice, meaning a bris happens when a bris happens. But that's what Tosfos says, no, Dileika Simcha, plus it's not really Simcha, Dolo Mevarchin Sha Simcha Bimono Mishum Deisle Tzara Liyanuka. He says, number one, he says maybe there's not so much Simcha because of the Tzara of the baby. Or, Kivin Shizman Kavua, that second answer Tosfos is because the Zman is Kavua, right? Ein Levatel Zemifnei Zeh, so we're not going to nullify it. But, Asudas Pidyon HaBen, Tzarachian. He said that's a little bit more questionable, whether that's permitted to do on Chol HaMoed. V'ein lomar hazmana kavua, and we don't say that necessarily that the Zman sets it. Tinach bizmana, or maybe that would make sense if it was the right time. Shelo bizmana heyach yehe mutter, but if it wasn't at the right time, meaning there for some reason the Pidyon HaBen was delayed for a little bit, so would it be mutter? So v'nir ali, that we assume like Ravashi, the Darsh v'chagi, perakam l'chagecha v'lo b'yishtecha, v'inu asur l'arev simcha b'simcha, v'ayin l'kaman d'lo chashivi simcha b'simcha, ki im sudas nesu'en levat. So he gives two possibilities. He says, number one, he thinks that really this is the main issue is to have, is to get married. I mean, that, the simcha of opinion of Ben is not such a big simcha. The big concern is that you should be happy on Yontif, about Yontif, not with your wife. So that's one answer. Or that it's not really considered to be simple, that the only time we consider something to be a problem of simcha b'simcha is a su'udas nesu'in levad, is a wedding meal itself. So that was, so those are the two answers of Tosos. So with regards to our sugi here, right? So the way the Ramah quotes it is that you're allowed to do a Pidyon HaBen on Yontif, and he seems to be quoting Tosos, even a Pidyon HaBen shelo bizmano, right? That even if it's not on the 31st day, it's just stam, it's whatever, it finally came around to doing it, so that's okay. It seems to be a specific issue of excluding Yontif. That's the end of Tosos. So that then brings to a Shaila that came up, although it ended up not being Lamaisa, but that leads to a Shaila about when Mark had to have his re-wedding, I guess. Right, that when Mark Solomon had that, so his son, his oldest son, his name is Avi, right? So his oldest son, the assumption always was is that he was a Levi, right? But if Mark all of a sudden was not going to be considered a Levi anymore, that meant that his son Avi wasn't going to be considered to be a Levi anymore. In which case, I all of a sudden, as we were like preparing for the wedding, like 2-3 nights before, I think to myself, oh my gosh, Avi needs to have a Pidyon HaBen. Right? Because he was the firstborn, and so my first thought was, well, maybe as part of the wedding we could do the Pidyon HaBen, then everybody will be around, and like that would be an added thing to do, you know, during the Chassan's Tisha or something in the beginning of the wedding. We'll do a Pidyon HaBen as well. So then I thought to myself, well, wait a second, is that a problem of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha V'Simcha? Right? Is that a violation of this Gemara that you're not allowed to mix the Pidyon HaBen and the wedding? So could we have done the wedding at the bar mitzvah, at the thing? So I first contacted somebody who said, yeah, absolutely, right, without looking, he said, I think you could do it, because you see, Pidyon HaBen is not an issue of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha V'Simcha, right? So that's what this Toso seems to be saying. So, but then I was looking at it, I said, wait a second, that's not exactly what Tosus is saying. Tosus is saying that a wedding and Chol HaMoed is not a problem of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. But what about, and so then you extend that. Yeah, a wedding and Chol HaMoed is not a problem, but a Pidyon HaBen and a Chol HaMoed, wedding and Chol HaMoed is a problem. A Pidyon HaBen and Chol HaMoed is not a problem. But what about a Pidyon HaBen and a wedding? Right? Is that then going back to being a problem? And it seems like yes. I mean, the two exclusions of Tosfos at the end is saying, well, you know, you should be v'sameach v'ishtecha, right? Because your wife is going to take precedence over the chag, and that's going to be a problem. And or B, because Ein Ma'arvin Simcha b'Simcha is really an issue with regards to nesuin. Well, that's what's going on here, right? So therefore, I actually thought that it would be a problem. Now, if they happen to have a 30-day-old child, right, and is bo bayom of the pidyon haben, so then maybe there's what to talk about. But in the absence of that, it seemed to me like it would be a problem. So I think I'm pretty sure I spoke with Rav Schechter about this issue, and he advised that you should you could do it, but you need to make some kind of separation. Meaning you should have you could do it while everybody's present, but then make it clear that this is the suda, the snacks you're having right now, the cake you're having right now is the chav of the pidyon haben, and then worry about the and then have some kind of interruption, and then move on to the wedding. It ended up not being an issue, whatever, he's he was not chayv in pidyon haben for other reasons. But
I was at a bris where there were twins, the Goldfeins, one of the Goldfeins had twins, and they made it like one bris and they're waiting five, you know, I might, they did something and then before they had the second bris.
Right. Yeah, that's what's of, there's a suffix brachos when you do that. My, yes, my nephew and niece had had bris of twins, actually on Chol Moed Sukkos several years ago. Right, and that was, so in between, that's when he gave his Zvartar, between Kobi and Tuvia. Well, Tuvia hadn't yet been named Tuvia at that point, but right, in between, that's when he gave his Zvartar. Okay, so that is this first issue of Ema Arvi Simchusim. So in the, here in the Shulchan Aruch, so the, right, the Ramah says, Ein Lasos Pinyon Aben B'chol Amoed, V'yesh Matirin, V'chein Iker. So the Shach here makes the point, V'chein Kasav Mechaber, in Orachayim Simkuf Memvav Sif Dalid. What's that? So Tavkuf Memvav is Hilchos Chol Amoed. And then V'chein Iker, and it continues with V'chein Noagim. The Ha'in Mevarchin Shah Simchu B'mono. King Kasavatas was really not the big of a simcha because we don't make the special bracha of mevar, simcha bin Ono. However, the shach says it's not necessarily a proof, right? The ha sudas erusin aser lasos b'cholam. You're not allowed to do a sudas erusin then either, and we don't make the bracha then. El hatam mevuar v'divrei tosos sham delo aser la'ar simcha b'simcha el b'simchas nesuin levad. Really, the main issue is with nesuin. Delo dami simchas nesuin the ka'amri elahu adin sudas erusin nami d'shayach bein nesuin. He says, and you know, even though erusin is not as big a deal as nesuin, still it's close enough. So therefore, we're going to include that as being the problem, but not really include other things. Okay, so that is so ad kan the issue of this Ein Ma'arvin Simcha V'Simcha. Okay, so the next issue is that of the 30 days. Why are we? Where did this whole idea of the 30 days come from? Why do we have to wait for 30 days to be concluded before one goes ahead and does a pinyon aben? So here in the Beis Yosef, it says here in Yud Beis, "Vim nolad lo trefos besoch lamed yom ina av chayav lifdoso." So that if the child is found out to be a trefa within the 30 days, so the father is not chayav to be poded. What does it mean that it's a trefa? Normally we associate trefas with being animals. Well, no, a trefa animal means that it's an animal that has some kind of problem that's not going to allow it to live out the year. So to a baby that would have that something there that you figure out that he's not going to be able to live out the year, so then he's considered to be a trefa. So even if he lives for a while, in av chayav lifdoso afilu chay zman aruch lefichach imeis afilu biyom lamed ein tzarich lifdoso. So therefore, if he dies on day 30, you would not have to be podet. V'im kibel Kohen Hamos Sarach Lachzirim, and if the Kohen had already taken the money, meaning you did some kind of manipulation where you said, "I'm hereby giving it to you for it to take effect after the days or something," the Kohen would have to give it back. But if he died after day 30, he was already chayv in the pinyon, and therefore we'd have to give the Kohen the money. So, Okay, so that is the now. Why is it that we wait till day 30? So it is not abundantly clear why exactly we're waiting till day 30. It actually seems to be a machlokas. If you see the Beis Yosef here, the Beis Yosef says that it's learned down in the Gemara in Baba Kama, also alluded to in the Gemara in Bechoros, Amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Elazar, right? Bechor shenitraf besoch lamed yom ein podin oso v'chein tani Rami Bar Chama. Why? Mitoch shenamar pado tifteh, that we're going to impose a pidyon. So what is that mean? Where are you doing the pidyon? So by midbar yud ches tesvav, actually.
I'm a little confused at the moment. Did the baby die before 30 days, but you're waiting for 30 days to
No. If the child died within 30 days, well, I shouldn't say completely, but if the child died within 30 days, it's considered a nefel, and you wouldn't be chayv to do a pidyon aben. Now the question is that the reason though? Because where do you get 30 days from? So one idea is that, well, the child is considered to be a nephel. He's considered to be essentially stillborn, and if it died within 30 days, that means it never really, it never really had a chance, right? So that's possibility number one. Possibility number two is that, no, the 30 days is actually like a low plug. You have to wait till day 30 for it to have status. Where do we get that idea? So there's the Pidyon of Levium, or Bechorim for Levium, right, that takes place in Bamidbar, several places, I'm quoting here from Bamidbar Yud Ches, but I think also earlier on, where we count, when we do a count of how many Levium there are versus the rest of Klal Yisrael. So the rest of Klal Yisrael is counted from ages 20 to 60, right? Levium are counted from 1 month, right? 1 month old. So what's that 1 month old? So it could be that that's when they have a chilek, meaning once they're 30 days old, so that's when they sort of have, that's when they have status at that point. So therefore, what would be that? So what would be the difference between whether it was?
But if they live till they're 30, they're not a nathan anymore, right?
Correct. Well, yes and no. If the child was already a trefa within the first 30 days, so then you would say it would continue on. But the flip side of it is that if the child died, was in a car accident or something like that, meaning it didn't die because of its baby status, it just died, stop, within 30 days. Would you then make a case that maybe it would be chayv and pidyon event? Because, well, like, it wasn't the nafel, it just, it just didn't make it, right? So that's where this other idea comes into play, saying, no, it's a gzeiras hakasav, that the a levi, right, you wouldn't count, in the midbar, they wouldn't count a levi baby that got, that got killed within earlier, just happened to die for some freak accident, right? It wouldn't count. So to hear, it wouldn't count as a baby if it didn't make it to 30 days, even if it was perfectly healthy and really should have been able to make it. So it seems like both of those reasons come into play with regards to figuring out these halachos out.
What? What is a trefa?
Trefa means that it was that it has some kind of ailment that it's not going to live out the year. So if it's within 30 days, it's a nephel. If within 30 days it's turned out to be a trefa, so then, well, it's a little bit of a shaila. I actually saw in the Pidyon HaBen, I think this was the shaila in the Pidyon HaBen, that the Pidyon HaBen book quoted from, how am I going to track this down? From Rav Baruch Ber. No, that's a different. It's a different idea.
That if you become that lives 30 days. I'm just trying to understand the truth.
If within 30 days, it's not considered to count. Essentially, right? It doesn't count until it's 30 days old. So why is that? So there's two reasons. One is either because it's considered to be a suffix nephil until that point, there's a good chance it's not going to make it, or because there's this pasuk that alludes to the idea that that the child doesn't count until he's 30 days old. Actually, it was the, if I recall now, it was the bichorim that we wanted, meaning you need to exchange the oldest child for the levi, so the oldest child were counted from the day from 30 days old. So therefore it's interpreted to be like a gzeiras hakasav of a rule. So if the child is alive after day 30 at all, so then he's going to be chayv and pidyon aben. If he's not, so then he's not. Now, what about if he becomes a trefa within the first 30 days? So if that's the case, even though a trefa could live for a year, and potentially even for more than a year, as is described, it's because it never lived after 30 days as a non-trefa, it's going to be pater from pidyon aben as well. Right? So that then leads to the Shulchan Aruch, which I guess is page 3? I think, yeah. So the Shulchan Aruch here says in Sif Yud Beis, so, Meis HaBen B'Soch Shloshim, Vafilu B'Yom Shloshim, if the child dies within 30 days, even on day 30, V'chein Im Nase Trefa, Kodem Sha'avor Olav Shloshim Yom, similarly, if it became a Trefa prior to the 30 days passing, Eino Chayav Pidyon, it's not chay, you're not going to be chayav to do pidyon on that child. Vafilu hiktim v'nasen ha-kohen ha-pidyon yachsi renalo. And even if the father jumped the gun and gave the money to the kohen ahead of time, the kohen would be obligated to give the money back. All right, there wasn't even, it's not, so meaning what? It's not even a suffix, right? Plus, if we would say, well, how do we know if the child died as a nephil? Maybe it died for another reason, right? So we say, no, it's not a suffix. If it didn't live to day 30, it's certainly not going to be chayav pidyon ben, and therefore the kohen would have to give back the money. Now, if it died after 30 days, right, meis la'achar shloshim chayav liftoso. And you make a brach on the pidyon. I mean, if you didn't do the pidyon on day 30 or day 31, and now you're and all of a sudden the child dies a little bit later, so the Ramah actually says you would be chayiv to do a pidyon aben in that case, even though the child had already died, because you were already meshubad, right? Once the clock ticked day 31, so you already are obligated for a pidyon aben. And if the child dies later on, so you still owe that money. Aval, in that case, lo yivarech shachianu. If you do that, so then you would leave a shachianu off out at such a pidyon. Now what does this mean with regards to the treifa? So first of all, what does it mean to be a treifa? So the shach here says in Sifta Zayin, inasa treifa near the hainu bevadai treifa. We're talking about something that for sure is a treifa. Uvachai gavna afilu chai achar kachs man aruch. And if that's the case, meaning he for sure is a treifa, and he lives afterwards for a long time, patur mipidyon. You can be patur mipidyon even if he lives for longer. V'lo amrin in treifa ein achai. We don't say, that a treifa couldn't live, meaning, well, if the child is still alive, so then, you know, reports of my demise were premature. So you say, no, we don't say that. We still would be considered you and a treifa, even if you live past 30 days. Bevadai treifa, aval besafek treifa, pater mipidyon, damotem mechaver olav araya, miu imchai achar kein, yud beis chodesh, then you would be chai. So he says, if you're for sure a treifa, so then you're not going to be chayv ever. You have a din of a treifa. And even if you happen to live for a while, you're going to have the din of a treifa. If you are a suffolk, so then once you've lived for 12 months, so then you would then be chayv to pay. Now, period. Okay, so that is that din. Now, I did see a discussion there in the Nishvas Avram that there is the famous milk treifa shayla that came up about, 30 years ago, and it actually sort of reawakened in the last year or two, or actually sort of had the book closed on it probably in the last year or two, and that was this issue with the cows, that the cows were assumed to be gassy, so they would come and they would sort of puncture the stomach of the cow in order to release the gas out of the cow, and that way the cow would feel better. The only problem is that a cow with a hole in its stomach is considered to be a treifa. So the animal is still walking around with a hole in its stomach, and it's considered to be a treifa, so then any milk that comes out of it is then considered to be treif milk, right? And then that would be a problem. So Rabbi Bleich, in one of the contemporary halachic problems from decades ago, already has this. I think he, is nervous about it. He talks about how he called up these farmers in upstate New York to find out what their stat, you know, how many cows this happens to. And it turns out it was like a pretty decently high number, like 10% or something like that, which then is above shishim, which means that more than 1/60th of the milk is treif, right? It is coming from one of these animals that would be considered to be a treifa. So that was his discussion then. How can you drink any of the milk? At an ACCO conference that I was at for the previous year, so somebody made a presentation about how it wasn't really a good sample that he got. He did a further research of testing cows across the country, found out that it's a much different percentage, and thought that all that is okay. But I saw in the Nishmas Avram that he has a similar question with regards to babies, that there's some sort of operation sometimes that they might they would insert some kind of needle into the heart of the baby for some kind of health reasons. Where was that? Milchas Yitzchak had a firstborn, less than 30 days old, had a needle inserted into a chamber of his heart as part of his treatment. So he recovered, and the doctor said that this is a daily occurrence in medical practice, that they would put some kind of medicine into the heart. So would a pidyon haben be required? Can you make the case that the child is a trefa if it's got a hole in his heart? Right? So so he said that no, it's hard to say, and even if it's unclear, so maybe you should have to wait past 30 days in order for in order to make it for sure. So I see here that he was a little nervous about it. Since this is a very frequent occurrence in the practice of medicine, he should be redeemed after 30 days without a bracha, based on Tosos. And he, and Nishas Avram says, I have trouble with this. He thinks, seems to say that you should do it with a bracha after 30 days because it's such a common occurrence. Okay, so that is so that's that issue with regards to the trefa. Okay, so then then the next shach says, what about avalo yivarech shachian, but you don't make a bracha on shachian? Who comes the shach and says, v'lo dami l'mashi yispar, it's not like Or Chaim simin reish chav gimel sif beis. What's going on in reish chav gimel sif beis? So that is, that's a quote of the Gemara in Maseches Brachos that says, when you find out that a person passed away, a relative passed away, so you say, Baruch Dayan HaEmes. But when you find out that you're going to get the Yerusha, so then you say a Shechianu. And you find out that you're going to split the Yerusha, so then you say the Bracha of Tov V'Hametiv. And that is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, black on white, in what the Shach is quoting here. Reish Chav Gimel Sif Beis says, you're getting the Yerusha, when someone passes away, such that you'll be getting a significant Yerusha, so then you would make a Shechianu at that point. So the Shach says, so why is that different than here? Meaning, just because someone died, so that, why does that mean that one would not? Why does that mean that one would not make a shechianu? So here you're doing the mitzvah. So why should the fact that the baby died hold back the shechianu? So the shach says, he says, nah. Dafagab de mes aviv var shechianu al yerusha. The shiny hasan, that's different. Kivin de zochel yerusha, because you're happy that you're getting the yerusha. Lemaisa, you're happy that you're getting the yerusha. But here it's not. Here it's like a tough mitzvah to do. But there you are, because you're happy, you're getting the yerusha. So therefore, you would make a shechianu. I did notice that I did look around a little bit in that section of Pisgei Tshuvos. The minhag is not to do this anymore. It seems either because it's just somewhat although it's a little unclear why. I mean, what exactly changed? So he quotes here from what is it?
I'm just trying to understand here. So the guy, the baby is a trefa. And they live here, and you do the pidyon haben, and you don't make shechianu.
No. The shechianu is the case where the baby died. Meaning the Ramah says if the child died after 30 days, you still have to do a pidyon haben and make a bracha on the pidyon haben, but you wouldn't make a shechianu. Okay. So that's where the shach says, well, the baby's dead already, so therefore you don't make a shechianu. When a father dies, and you're getting a Yerusha, you make a Sheachianu then. So he says, that's different, because there you're actually getting something, while here you're not. So do we actually do this? I mean, is there a reason, like, why don't we do this? I mean, I've never instructed anybody to make a Sheachianu after their father died. So the Rav Shernbach here is quoting the Pisgei Tshuvos as saying, the minaga olam lo levarich klal, but sir of shitos ha, I'm not sure who that is, lamed Kaftes, Abuva Ber Hativ, She'ein Mavarchin Elim Kain, Nodolo Be'is Haptira, Shehishir Lo Yerusha. Ve'inze Kol Kach Matzoi. I mean, the bracha would only be if at the moment of death you find out that you're gonna be getting the Yerusha. You find out what the Yerusha is. But that's not really the way things work. Now, you know, it has to go to, it goes to the lawyers, it goes whatever. It takes a while for it all to happen. So therefore, there is no longer such a minhag to do this, to make that shechianu. Now, the Pisgei Tshuva here in Chaf Aleph raises the other question, which is always, what happens if the child dies? Meaning, well, if the child dies before 30 days, but due to a freak accident, meaning the child was totally healthy and it you know, something terrible happened. So would you make a pinyan aben in that case, meaning it was a healthy child? So the answer is no, you got to wait for 30 days. So the Piskei Tshuva here discusses the Dugal Meravava, right, the Nod Yehuda that we discussed last week, with a little bit of a different twist. So he says, I am Dugal Meravava. So the truth is, the Dugal Meravava appears on the previous page in Shulchan Aruch, so I don't have a copy of that. So let's read it out of here. He says, Ve'ein shekasev kisherotza av leilich ledarko, that with the father is on the road, betoch lamed, yaseh shliach liftos. Right? The discussion was, actually this was from way before, that we have an isser, there is a comment in the Ramah about not setting up a shliach to do a pinyan aben. Which everyone's like, why not? Why can't you do that? So the Nod Yehuda says that if the father is traveling, right, within 30 days, and he's not going to be there on day 30, so he should do a shliach. Aval sheyifdua av makom sheyeh sham biyom shloshim. L'dati lo yachol levarich. But the Nod Yehuda says, what if the father didn't set up a shliach? The father says, well, the baby doesn't have to be there for pidyon aben. Meaning, we have the practice that the baby's there and he's covered in jewelry and all that kind of stuff. But the baby doesn't have to be there. So the Dugal Meravava says, what about? Why are we talking about setting up a shliach if the husband's going to go on a business trip and he's not going to be there on day 30, right? So why are we talking about setting up a shliach to do it in the place of the father? The father could just do it where he is. Right, the father is right. So yes, someone leaves Prague and he's traveling to whatever. I'll Hamburg, right? And so he's going to be in Hamburg on day 30. So find a kohen in Hamburg and do the pinyan aben there, right? And you get out of this problem of doing the shliach. So the Nod Yehuda says, well, I'm not sure. You can't make a bracha of that case. Why? Kulai mesa ben. He says maybe the child died. And we don't know. Beveso, right? So maybe we should say, okay, but we could always say that, well, maybe the person died with a lot of different halachos. Because, yeah, but within 30 days, there really is a suffix. He merely may have died, right? So long as 30 days hasn't passed, he doesn't have a chazaka that he's going to live. Maybe he's a nefil. So therefore, Nodri says, yeah, but we're not really sure. Maybe there's, you know, Rove don't turn out to be Nephils, but maybe that's not enough. And therefore, it's best to have the Shliach do it on day 31 in the presence of the babies, that you know that the baby is alive. So that's the Nod Yehuda Shita. So the Piskei Tshuva quotes from the Beit Shmuel. He says, I am B'tshuvas Beit Shmuel Achron. Right? Be'echad sheiniach ishto bi'ir. Somebody left his wife in the city. V'halach l'mdina. Goes someplace else. V'kasvu lo sham. She'ishto yald b'chor. And they tell him that, oh, your child had a baby. So are you mechuyu to be poda the child after 30 days? Meaning in the Yehuda's case, we're just thinking that he was there for the birth and then he left. Comes the Piskei Tshuva and says, no, he got a letter. He wasn't there for the birth. He got a letter saying, by the way, your wife gave birth and on last Tuesday, right? So what does he do? So should he count 30 days and do a pinyan aben wherever he is? So the Beit Shmuel says, yes. Right, lamid yom yom ledaito. Right, after inu yudea, even if he doesn't know the child's alive, alo va'ala devada yachol liftos ulevarich, he can certainly make that do the pidyon and do the bracha. Ve'in chashash, we're not concerned that maybe the vlad die within 30 days because the child has a chazaka and see how there he explains and he quotes the Chassam Sofer as well, who asks in Dugal Meravava from the end of Arachin, va'ala de yoser tov sheyiftenu ba'atzmo makom shehu mishiyiftenu al yedei shliach v'chein ra ma'isem mimoro hagon. He says, yeah, he thinks it's better to do it yourself rather than appoint a shliach, and so too, that's what he saw from his Rebbe, the great Rav Nosson Adler. Chassam Sofer is a very, he holds very, very, very much of his Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler, although I'm not sure I ever really saw it quoted in the Piskei Tshuva like that. But that's what the Chassam Sofer says. So Dugal Meravava says one way, it seems like we assume the other way, that in such a situation, the father's not present, he would do it on his own. Now, this is really not so relevant today, because nowadays it's pretty easy to find for the husband, wherever he is, to find out if the child is still alive, right? He can call, right, and find out, right? So that's if this occurrence would ever happen, besides making his mother-in-law very, very, very upset by not being present for his son's Pidyon Aven, he would be able to do a Pidyon Aven wherever he is by and with the bracha by ascertaining that the child is actually still alive. Okay. Okay, so the Yud Gimel gives a little bit of detail. I'm not going to plug through that, but Yud Gimel says if somebody's poda his son within 30 days, before 30, if he says, I want it to be poda from now, so it doesn't count, but if he says, I'm hereby being poda now for after 30 days from now, so then the child would be poda, right? Even if the money's not around anymore, it's still okay. Continues the Rama and says, "Veishodim ein amos kayamim oshech zirin la'av toch lamed afilu b'di'eved ein b'no padoy." The Rama says, "No, no, no. The money still has to be there. And if they gave the money back to the father, that would actually be a problem. V'tov la'achbir lachzer lifto. So, and it's better in that case to go back and to be poda again. It sounds like." Now, the Mechave here says the important klal, which we've mentioned a few times. Here it's explicit. Mishahu safek imhu chayev v'pidyon pater shamotzi mechaviro lavaraya. That's somebody who is mesupak. He is not sure if the child is, if you are chayev in pidyon, you are always going to be pater. Why? But as we said, hamotzi mechaviro alavaraya. That the person who is attempting to take the money, he's the one who retains the burden of proof, right? So yeah, right. So what is what's interesting about that is right, even though right, I could there's really two conflicting issues here, right? We have the rule of Hamotzi Mechaviro Lavaraya, right, saying that he shouldn't have to give the money. But on the other hand, there's another principle at play here, which is Safek Doraisa L'chumra, right? There's a mitzvah's asay to do a Pidyon HaBen. And therefore, even if it's a suffix, whether you do it or not, right, you have a mitzvah, so it's a mitzvah. So suffix doraisa l'chumra, right? So how are we so sure that we do that? So I see here in the Be'er HaGola, he doesn't quote you a source. He just says yispar mashakasa b'sif chaf. I'll explain it. Oh maybe it's the previous sif chaf. No, b'sif chaf, I guess means. I assume that means in. Right, the Viragol, yeah, he explains in the next section. Later on, he explains how do we actually know this, and I'm not sure everybody agrees, but there is a shach, I was able to track down, there is a shach that seems to spell out a similar principle, and that is also on the page, the shach at the very, very end of Hilchos Ribbis. So at the last shach in Hilchos Ribbis, which is page 5 over there. So he has the following, right? So he says the following. So the Shulchan Aruch itself talks about, right? He does. It's not even going on a case in the Shulchan Aruch itself. He just lays out this principle. So the Shach, right, the bottom there, which here is Hecha, about, right, it's in Samaches, but it's the second line. It says Hecha. He says, what about when you have a Safik Din, Omachlokas, Ben Aposkim, Ihave Resh Kuf, or Aleph Resh? So, you may recall from when we learned Hilchos Ribbis now, I don't know, 3, 4, or 5 years ago, right? Ribbis Kitsutza, O Avak Ribbis. Right, Rivik Kitsutza is set Rivis, right? There's a set, like a full Doraisa issue of Rivis. Or Avak Rivis is where it's like a questionable, it sounds like Rivis. So, Kasa Vitshuvas Rav Aaron Sasson, the Simon Kuf Samach Bez Vashem Maharash, Dai Modina Dazlinan Luchumra, Vishum Dahave Suffik Isser Doraisa, so he quotes in the name of this Maharash Dai Modina, that we always go Luchumra. Right, if there's a question about monetary case regarding ribis, so you get a luchumra because safik doraisa luchumra. Right, there's a safik doraisa here about etc. But Vuhu Chalakalav, this sort of Aaron Sasson, argues and says, no, right? The Havi Safik Mamun, he says, what are you talking about? It's a Safik Mamun here, right? If we're going to say, oh, we're going to be very machmir and say, oh, that's ribbis, and therefore you don't owe the money. He says, well, wait a second. That means you have a mamonos issue going in the other direction, right? Ulkul the motz mechaber alav araya imlo shirova poskim maskim the have ribis katsutza, right? The have suffik isur doraisa does lean and basarova. Right, we would follow the rov, and we would, unless you see rov poskim say that it would be ribis katsutza, we would say it's suffik isur. And therefore it's a suffik isur doraisa. We would follow. We would follow the mamonos rules. V'hu chalak alav, and he disagrees. The havi suffik mamona ulukula da motzim yechver alav araya imlo shirov poskim maskimin da havi rubis katsutza da havi suffik isur doraisa da zlin basarova. That we v'chein nirim v'divrei shara achronim v'nir elisha basin yomru lo shu osa isur b'davar via imu alav v'chein roy lahachmir laatzmo v'alim enu mashkiach b'cholze ein koch biad basin lahotzi mamona. And the Shach ultimately concludes and says that if you have a conflict here between how things should come out monetarily wise versus how things should come out because of the mamonos issues versus how things should come out because of the suffik d'oraisa, so ultimately Toso says you can't force him to give up the money. Right? Possession is 9/10 of the law. That is what's going to win out. Now, Basin might tell him, he says, you know, by you holding the money, you might be chayiv in rivis d'oraisa. We're not really sure, so therefore we're not making you give up the money, but it might really be in your interest to give up the money. So the Rajach says, yeah, maybe you should go ahead and scare him a little bit and convince him that he should give up the money, but Mi'ikar Adin, Basin would not be able to force him to do so, because ultimately Basin doesn't have a full-fledged proof to go up against him in order to be motzi the mamon that they think he would have to pay. So it seems like here, as well as over there, as well as in Pidyon Aven, in terms of there being a chiyuv of Mamon, so the Chiv of Mamon will win out, even though it's going up against a Safik d'oraisa. Now, these cases are a little bit different, but maybe that will be resolved a little bit more later on. But at least I see our first issue in text about whether we say Hamotze Mechavera Lavaraya, whether we would ever do a Suffolk Pidyon Haben or not. Recall the first question that Rav Shechter asked me at my Bechina a while back. So here is straight black and white, no, that we would never have a Pidyon Haben under the circumstances. Maybe we'll see over the next couple of Sifim that maybe once in a while there is the occasion that we would do a Suffolk Pidyon Haben. So I guess stay tuned for that. Okay?
So the idea is that the Kohen deserves the money, and he has to extract it from the...
Yeah, at the same time that there's a mitzvah that he has a Pidyon Haben, it's also a monetary obligation. So if he says, I'm a subject, so the Kohen is the one who's going to force him to, wants to force him to do it, right? It's in his interest to get the money. So you say, all right, well, Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Araya, you have to bring the proof. If you can't prove that he's chayiv in the Pidyon, so in theory, then the guy is not going to do it. Yeah. And that's according to, and Rav Shechter is straight up in that way. He's like, if it's a suffix at all, no Pidyon Haben. But not everybody holds the same way. We'll see that as we move along.
How did Rivas get into this? I didn't understand it.
Because I tracked that, I think, in this fancy Shulchan Aruch that Rabbi Greenspan, the Dirshu Shulchan Aruch, so he says, see that Shach. The Shach over there, it says the same conflict there, because there's it's a conflict of a mitzvah on the chaveru and a mitzvah and a mamonos issue. So would the klalim of Nisr Doraisa come into play, meaning Safik Doraisa L'chumah, Safik D'Rabban L'kula, and at all costs you have to avoid ribbis? Or would the person say, no, I have a mamonos, you have a mamonos claim against me, if you can't prove to me that it's ribbis, so I don't have to give the money back, right? Amotzi Mechaver Alav Arai is only if you could prove to me that I have to do it. But if we only say, Rov Poskim assume that it's ribbis katsutz or something like that, that would be sufficient for us to say, you know, maybe you should be machmir, but it would not be sufficient for a beastin to go and extract the money from him, because there's no raya that he owes the money. Okay? All right. Good evening. Yes.
Yeah.